Hello and welcome to another edition of Key to Happiness with me, Rob Saunders. And on today's show, we've got James Lubbert. And unlike previous shows, we're going to talk about happiness rather than the diet lifestyle. But just as usual, the Key to Happiness podcast is for educational purposes only. And if you're embarking on a new diet, anything like that, please consult your doctor, physician, whatever. Also, if you're looking at starting a ketogenic type diet, go over to our friends, the Two Keto Dudes, start.2keto.com. Now, a short introduction about James Lovett. Now, James is an advanced practitioner. He's written 4 online programs for self-development. And for those who suffer stressful lives, and he's developed a form of physical meditation. He began using the techniques to alter his mind from the age of 9, starting a lifelong passion for psychology and realizing that the way you learn to think describes a blueprint on how you will live. James started with the military, where he led a platoon. And then he went on to becoming a business intelligence developer for a blue chip company with clients including the BBC and Channel 4. He's travelled the world and spent several years between America and the Mediterranean. He's looked after high level executives and their families, acting as life coach. But now his clients include executives, students, housewives, professionals, labourers, artists, and just about every walk of life, including me. Quite a few years ago, and we've gradually become friends. James also has a passion for sailing as well. So whatever you need to change or achieve, whether it's coming to terms with something from the past, changing something in the present, or taking control of the future, if you adopt the right state of mind, James believes you will succeed in doing. So he's here to help, from doing public courses to one-to-one in his studio, and also via Skype. But I'd like to welcome James Lovett. Welcome, James.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, that was a bit of an introduction for you. Yeah.
So. Thank you very much. It's good to be. I didn't realise my past was so glamorous, actually.
But, it is, yeah.
I need to record that myself.
You do? Yeah. You write a good biog on your website.
Thank you very much.
Your website is mind.co.uk, but mind is spelled MIYND. Is there any reason for that?
Yes.
Go on.
I'd like to tell you a deep and mythical story about that, but actually at the time it was going to be MYIND, but somebody had that. So that's why it is.
You stuck an I in.
Absolutely.
But it just makes it interesting, doesn't it?
It makes it a lot harder to explain over the phone. It does that.
Yeah. Oh, fabulous. So, let's go back. You mentioned in your biog, you started this sort of process of self-development at the age of 9.
Yes. I didn't think it was self-development, though. I hadn't learnt that phrase by then. I simply thought it was magic back in those days. So I got into coaching and therapy. How many people do in the business that they've had their own issues, their own demons to face, and I'd realised that it was all to do with how you think, which started my interest in it, and it's been a passion ever since.
Sure, because some of the people that we've had on, or some of the people I've sort of met, and I've already mentioned the Jack Black, who I follow as well. They've had similar experiences, but a lot of people just pick up a book and then they read about it. You actually, before you discovered that it wasn't magic, you didn't have any reference point, and that's an interesting.
No, I think my only reference at the time was growing up with in a small council flat in London, determined to live a life of adventure. So between the Famous Five and Star Wars, I knew there was a life out there, and that kind of kept me going, kept looking. And in the quest for some adventure to get away from the sort of what I'd grown up with, I discovered along that way that depend on how you think, was going to plan what happened next.
Sure. And it can work both ways, can't it, the way you think?
Well, absolutely. When you start off in life, you're born with a bit of a blank canvas, and the experiences you have and how you react to them initially starts a process of thinking, which is built within the first sort of 7 to 10 years of your life. And that's going to shape how you go from there. So the key is that if that's a great shape and that's really healthy for you, that's wonderful. You don't want to mess with that. Just go and have a great life.
Yeah.
But not everyone is born into or grows up with that sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's some changes to make along the way.
Yeah. And say from the age of 9, obviously you discovered this mindset. I won't go delve into the past, but bringing it forward to, I think, what you joined the army.
Yeah, on that same quest for adventure, I actually ran away to sea when I was 16. Desperate to get away from home, I ran and joined the ships, which led to traveling the world. But once I got used to that, I decided I needed more adventure. And as we used to move troops about, I joined the army.
Okay.
Which was another great adventure in itself, which led to two trips out to the Foreign Legion to give that a go.
Okay.
And after that, university, and then more travelling, more jobs.
Right.
Spent a lot of my time as a skipper of yachts.
Okay.
And a diver, which was probably my best adventure. But again, learnt a lot from a lot of travel, a lot of different people, a lot of different experiences.
Right. And how did you come across developing, helping other people with your, would you call it your mind program or your...
Yeah, it's I describe it as a way of life, as a way of being, because it's an attitude. What I realised when I was younger with no education, I didn't go to school very much, certainly no money, no family support or anything else, I realised that I was able to do things that a lot of my friends didn't end up doing. And the one common denominator that kept coming through, I realised after quite a few years, was an attitude to what I was doing, a certain way of thinking. And I'd ended up then in leadership positions in the army, at sea, as a captain on yachts and so on. And when I was helping others, helping them to get through their situations, what I was actually doing was teaching them this attitude. And I was just doing that quite naturally before I realised that I was actually teaching something quite specific. And then that became more tuned until it became mind.
Right, okay. And I've been on a couple of your courses, and you discuss attitudes and beliefs and the differences between them and how easily you can change certain parts of your attitudes and beliefs to do things. And turn back around to what I'm sort of trying to spread is the nutritional benefits of a low carb lifestyle. Now I know you've obviously delved into the low carb arena, and you actually were the first person to make myself and Sean aware of it. I ignored you, sorry. And it wasn't until last year I thought, I'm going to take this on board. And then
actually, I put it in your head. I put that.
You probably did, didn't you? Yeah, it was that meditation.
That was just hypnosis.
Thing.
That was.
Yeah. it's getting over different stigmas and barriers what people have been brought up believing that you with your techniques you can change now. People can just, I'm going to start a ketogenic diet, but am I going to keep it? Or am I going to take any diet? You know, whatever works for you, works for you. Keto works for me, may not work for anybody, but it's keeping it going. Unlike there's people out there who are trying to make a few quid by enrolling people, knowing that once you forget about it, 6 months down the line, you'll rejoin again. And I won't mention any names, but a lot of the slimming type clubs and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, you never know, we've got We got Andy Borland, who came on the show a few times ago. Now, he's set up a keto club, but he is doing it as a pay it forward, a bit like what I'm doing, to coach people. He's not selling any products. What he's selling is his experience. Now, when I've been to your... initially, I came on as a business... You as a business stroke life coach, which has helped me tremendously through my journey on through business and things like that. But what you and Andy was use your experience to say, look, if I can do it, you can do it. But these are the tools. You don't need to buy a product. You don't need to get anything off the shelf. You don't need to go to a fancy gym or anything like that. You just go through these processes and feel free to just let go of your of any sort of beliefs you have and just give it a try.
Absolutely, yeah. When people take on diets, they often look at it and they're often put to people like a set of rules. Mm. And by that very nature, these are rules of change, which goes against any belief systems or habits that you already have. And we live by habits. We live by our belief systems. So you can't force people to do these things. It works much better when you offer someone some changes, something you can do, and you just encourage them in a way that makes it easy for them to do it. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you've made it a rule, you've now got something hard to work against.
Yeah, yeah.
When people come to me, I don't so much put across how they must change and what they must do. I always begin by pointing out, helping them see why they are the way they are and what they do. And it's like taking the blinkers off. Yeah. And when you can see that, then you can do something about it.
Brilliant. Yeah, because, again, the truth and the answers are all, I believe, is all still within you. You've just got a way of bringing it out, of bringing those things. And again, back to when people create rules, how does a person like yourself, who come from a military background, where there's a lot of rules, how do you break out of that sort of rigid rule-making?
Oh, I was a natural rebel. Even in the army, yeah.
Even in the Royal the French Foreign Legion as well.
Yep. That's a place for rebels. But yeah, it's about being able to change them belief systems, because we grow up with these beliefs. And sometimes the rules around us are the fabric of these beliefs. So I was actually talking to my little girl about keto the other day. Okay. And she's getting to the age where she's getting interested in all these things, because she's a dancer and a ballerina and so on. And after explaining this to her, how keto works and how carbs and protein and so on work, she thought about this and then said to me, "That's all very well, Daddy, but at school, we just got taught this this pie chart of what you should be eating.
Yeah.
And the biggest part is carbs.
Yeah.
Or so what have you got to say to that?
Or a pyramid.
Yep, yeah, that's the one. So...
Goodness, there's people out there in the NHS and the other health system who are taking on and realizing that what we were taught is bad science. You know, people took high profile doctors, nutritionists at their word, but the what I've read and what people have been telling me and what I've been listening to is that some of the science was tested on a certain criteria. For instance, I think the American diet, forgive me listeners if I'm wrong, the tests were on male men who were who already had heart conditions, and but the whole eating program was as if you were everybody. I stray off the wagon. I do like the odd chips and whatever.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Rob. I'm looking at you now. You're looking in top form.
But, yeah, you can dip in and out of that. And a few of my guests have been doing it seasonally. So if it was American football season, there's no harm in having a beer. Knowing that, you've got that belief, you can get straight back into ketosis. It could take a few days, could take a few weeks, but you know that's mindset. And you don't have to go back to the slimming club, which I know does work for some people, but if you think about it, those people, the whole program is about their shareholders and things like that. Whereas, you know, you don't even have to join the gym because you get energy from walking and you know, just having a good time walking on the beach or through a forest, whatever. But I digress. I'm waffling now. It's so easy once you've hit that 30 days of this process of getting into ketosis and getting the way of eating. It does become a habit. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I found mine in about 2 weeks. Yeah. How I got into it, because I like to throw myself into all the things that my clients come up with.
Okay.
So people at the time were trying all different things, and of course the Atkins diet came up and so on. And I threw myself into having a go at dropping carbs, and I lost so much weight in 2 weeks. It blew me away.
Yeah.
And being able to eat all the great food as well, which I like to eat, I thought this must be. Can this be real?
Is this
actually happening? And yeah, it did fly in the face of a lot of old belief systems and so on. But as I've spent a lifetime turning these belief systems upside down, it all made sense to me.
Yeah.
And I've just seen it working again and again ever since.
Right. Okay. That's brilliant.
And people I have, I can't give out nutritional advice with what I do. But I've just told people, this is what I do.
Yeah.
This works
exactly
for me.
Exactly what I said. You know, go and look at the books. Go and listen to people.
Absolutely,
the experts.
Yeah.
Go and listen to those, the doctors who have gone through new science and upturned the last 70 years of bad science. Really.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you've got to look at where things come from. I mean, it's... if the government was to turn around and say, do you know what? Okay, everyone, let's start pushing the protein and good fats and everything else.
Yeah.
I thought that can be, on the face of it, more expensive than just eating a cheap biscuit kind of diet.
And, you know, the people who are selling the carbs are the ones who want to make the money. You know, the...
Absolutely.
The cereal companies and the soft drink companies,
that's,
you know, they've got shareholders to
carbs are a lot cheaper to make.
They are, yeah.
Than protein and quality fat. So
exactly, yeah. So
that's what you're up against.
Right there.
But it does just come back to a belief system. If you want to change, if you want to get healthier, you have to start questioning things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go out there and you can just try the usual old diets and so on, but it's hard work. You know, the thing that did it for me was being able to have a happy, enjoyable food lifestyle that ticked all the boxes. And, you know, the whole weight thing aside, it is that feel good that comes with it.
Yeah.
A lot of the work I do with, you know, I get quite a lot of people come who are looking to control the way they eat, whether it's weight loss, sometimes it's weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just they realize they're eating a lot of bad things, really, that's just not doing them any good.
Sure.
And the process, you know, the most successful way to do that is to get in a good place in your head. And if you're going to do that in line with a diet, you want to try and make that diet something that you can really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And then you're off to a good start.
And you can discover so much nutritional foods and taste as well. You get your taste back.
Absolutely,
by adding salt, you know, and you used to say salt's bad for you. You had the right salt, and it is. It just enhances the flavour of, well, for instance, this is the first time I've actually, apart from when I was on vacation with Sean, and we recorded the, one of the shows in Florida. This is the first interview I haven't done via Skype or Zoom. So James is actually physically here. So this is a first. And we'll call this Keto Central for now.
Yes. Yeah, I actually came for the keto food tonight, Rob. Yeah. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. The steak and the halloumi fries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's brilliant. And the cheeky glass of Prosecco as well.
Yes. Of course, just to, you know, make it a bit more colourful. Yeah.
Now, back to business. Tell us about Mind in terms of how you work. Now, you're based in the northwest of the UK, not far from here in Wales, but you're over the border in Merseyside.
Yes.
And you also cover Chester, which is very close. If our listeners want to Google Chester, it's an old Roman city, if you haven't heard of it. And obviously Liverpool is Liverpool, home of the Beatles, etc., etc. And
that's right.
And rubbish football teams, but I won't go there.
That's it. That's just killed half your listeners off. I know that.
Other good football teams are available.
Yeah, but it's a great place to be. And you know, as well as people coming in, I do work with people. I've got clients in Switzerland at the moment, and South Africa, and Sydney, because Skype's a wonderful thing now.
It is, yeah.
So it's great to be based here, but work with people all around the world. And yeah, most of the work I do involves helping people to understand that the place they've got to is not chance, mm-hmm. is not luck, is not just the way they are. That actually, as humans, everything we do, there is a reason behind it. We might seem pretty random at times, but we're not. Mm-hmm. Everything we do. And I say to people, when you get to the end of your life, you won't base your life on the good and bad things that happen to you. You will base it on how you feel about the good and bad things that happen to mm-hmm. you. And the beauty of that is what that does, it gives you control. As humans, we need control of our lives, or we need to at least perceive we have control of our lives.
Yeah.
And the difference from basing your life on the things that happen to you and basing your life on how you feel about the things that happen to you is you can control how you feel about things.
Yeah.
And when you control, when you can understand, when you can learn to be in control of how you feel about things, then you can be in control of the rest of your life. And the more you take control of your feelings and how you feel, the more that will have an impact on what actually happens to you in life.
That's pretty profound. It's another thing that I got out of attending one of your public courses. I think it was about 20 of us, that we reframed certain things in our lives and put a what could have been a negative outcome. I think mine was an old work sales manager confrontation, and I reframed it, and I never think of that anymore. You know, it doesn't come into the conscious, whereas sometimes what would have happened is a tipping point where I've got into that feeling, that situation, and I felt, oh, not this again. But with the way that you reframed or taught the group to reframe, just brings that out. And you keep practicing it, you know, okay. in different situations. Yeah. You know, practice it a lot. And then the most devastating things that people can happen, you know, loss of a loved one, things like that. I can't say this to everybody, but it did work for me in terms of reframing loss of a parent, things like that, and looking on the positive side of how I felt before they were poorly, before they were ill, the good times, and using gratitude for that, because life happens, but it's how you deal with it. And I think that's what brought out of me anyway, of the course. And I think a few other people that were on it were exactly the same.
Absolutely, yeah. It's I summarised it to someone the other day who'd he'd had a particularly painful, dark childhood, mm-hmm. been abused, as sadly happens. And they said, well, you know, how can I raise my self-esteem if whenever I take a knock, whenever someone does something negative to me, it takes me straight back to that place and those things and those feelings. And I said, well, of course that will happen. You know, when someone does something negative, you'll connect it back to all the other negativity you've suffered, and the cycle carries on. And said, you know, they said, how, you know, are you asking me to actually forgive someone who's done these things to me to be able to say, oh, that was okay? And I said, no, no, I'm not asking you to do that, because you're putting that in a sense of it's about them, but it's actually about you. So all the time you hang on to negatives about something, when something happens to you, it will take you back to that place. Mm. It's for your own interest to learn to see things differently, to find a way to move on.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, you could say that then when someone does something to you that isn't particularly nice, or something that you might feel bad about, it could become a connection to something where you learn to be stronger. It mm-hmm. could just be a reminder that actually you come through things and you get stronger.
Sure.
And in that way, every time you have to face a challenging situation, can actually make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You've not changed anything externally. You've just changed how you decide to see things, how you choose to feel about things.
Yeah. And even in a simplistic, back from the serious into the nutritional thing, I used to... The stereotypical comfort eat, and I'm sure you could use those sorts of skills that you promote and teach through to, you know, oh, I've had a bad day, I'm just going to raid the fridge and eat as much sweets and ice cream and things like that as I can, because it makes me feel better. And I think you could probably overturn that on a, I'm talking this in a light-hearted way, for people to say, you know, because it makes you feel good. And
it doesn't actually make you feel good.
No,
you just believe, it's going to make you feel good.
If you can change that belief of saying that, if I've had a bad day, okay, what can I do to something totally different? May not be raiding the fridge, maybe just going out for a mindful walk. Just if you've got a pet, go for a walk with the dog, or your loved one, or and just even if you just sit in front of the TV watching some mindless comedy show, rather than reframe back into the old days where Rob's gonna have X amount of Reese's cups or Star Bars or
all right,
let's go for a drive-in burger or something like that.
Yeah,
and let's turn it round, reframe it as you put it, into say, what can we do different?
Absolutely, yeah, because another thing people associate with diets is willpower. And people think they've got to use willpower to stop doing those things. And actually, I tend to not teach people to use willpower, because that's hard. It's really hard work. Actually, there's all this energy there that you're using to go and get a drive in, or go and get the chocolate, or get the cake. There's energy going on there making you do that. You know, you are doing that. And actually, you can just redirect that energy into something different, just learning a few tricks. And you know, you initially might be getting that quick high out of the chocolate, or out of the sugar, or out of the burgers, or whatever it is. But actually, you can get an even better high out of not doing that, or doing something else, because then you're not only getting the high of doing whatever it is you're going to do now, but you've got the added high of that you took control of that and you did something different.
Brilliant.
Which is a great rush.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to plug you as much as I can, because do you still do the public courses, James?
Yeah, still doing the courses. I actually... because over the years, people have come and they've done some sessions, or they've had some packages, or they've come on a course, or they've come to the meditation classes and so on. So they've actually brought it all together now. So now people can just come along, get into the lifestyle, and it's all included now.
Wow,
so, you can come and see me for personal sessions, we can talk on the phone as well. I give out some of the courses through support, through sort of email support, and then you can come along to the meditation classes, come on the group classes.
Yeah,
it covers all bases now.
Brilliant. And what's most exciting as well, because of your love of sailing, because you're a first class skipper, is that what you're?
Yeah, I am
official?
A skipper. I am a qualified skipper. Yeah.
Yeah. You're now offering sort of your mind courses while learning to sail as well. So you're sort of finding yourself, and also you're doing something totally random by learning to sail, you know.
If you really want to get outside your comfort zone, we just last week sailed from Plymouth up to Liverpool, which was about 370 miles.
Around Land's End.
Land's End again, yes. We did that a few times last year. And I took a couple of people who never set foot on a boat in their life, never done any study of it whatsoever. One was a 50-odd-year-old guy, and the other one was just a few years younger lady, and never seen any sailing. Came along, and we did some great sailing. We saw some dolphins. We saw a good few sunrises and sunsets. And we kicked life around as well. So it was quite a trip for everyone.
And you sort of subtly bring in your techniques without anybody knowing it.
No, that's right. Yeah, I do. I bring it in. But no one's jumped overboard yet.
No.
So we've got a few more of these coming up through the summer.
Yeah.
And it's open to anyone.
Will you be posting it? It's just remember, the website is Mind, spelled MIYND.
Well done. Well done.
.co.uk. And you'll be posting things like that on your...
It will come up. I've just started to add to the blog there, but yeah, we'll start posting them on the site.
And go on James's blog as well, because there's some great stories there. Just look for Mexico, that's all I can say, and the Day of the Dead Festival.
A great reframe in itself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and go for that. And I want to thank James for coming to my house to do this podcast. I'll be posting any sort of links, James. Have you got a web Facebook page, James?
No, I keep it quite simple, actually. It's just a website.
Just a website, and then people get in touch with you, and then you personally Skype them or call them.
Feel free, anyone can send me an email, drop a comment, get in touch, that's no problem.
Excellent, and that's been James Lovett on the Keto Happiness Podcast with me, Rob Saunders. We'll see you all next time.